Tom Moon, music critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and whose reviews you often hear on National Public Radio, is here to let us know what are some of his favorite albums of the year. And I wanted to bring up what you've been doing for the last year, because I think it might kind of shade, you know, your view of this year's outputs of albums. And that is working on your book of the 1,000 greatest albums of all time.
1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die is the name of it. And it's a wide disparity of titles, genres. It's just basically great peak experiences to be had through music of all kinds. And it does definitely skew what you hear now, because, you know, if, for example, you're living with the Rick James great Street Songs album with, you know, Super Freak and all that, and then you've transitioned to, you know, the latest Mariah Carey, you know, Mariah can seem anemic by comparison there.
Now, just a preview, how many of those albums have come out since 2000?
Oh, boy. It's a very small number. And part of that is just being worried about recency and being too caught up in the greatness of our time versus all time. But also part of it is we're in this weird patch where a lot of R&B sounds like it did in 1985 and 1990. It's not – we're particularly with radio music, it's not like we have a brand new thing. We've yet to get, for example, one great reggaeton record that's good all the way through. So, you know, while I love reggaeton in small doses, I haven't found the record for the book for that.
Well, then I must say that what we're going to talk about today are probably things that have risen above in a way, because they have to kind of shine next to those records. And hopefully we have some ones that people, if they haven't latched onto already, will want to spend part of the new year kind of getting to know. So what are some of the things that have really struck you as some of the best albums this past year?
Well, the one that was most probably the easiest no-brainer for me was this John Coltrane Thelonious Monk Quintet record from 1957. That had never been released before. And what you think about jazz often is that it's all been done and we know the history of it and we have every piece of the puzzle. And then you hear something like this, which was unearthed in the early part of 2005 and turns out to be this sparkling, pristine recording of the Monk Quartet with John Coltrane as the primary soloist at the absolute peak. And this group did not record that much, in fact, didn't record at all in the studio and have – it's sort of one of those missing chapters of history. They played together for 8 or 9 months, and you always wanted to know what they sounded like when they were really hitting, and now we know. This is an absolutely just genius record.
It's interesting, though, that it was recorded in 1957, so yeah. It's hard to – it has a contemporary release, but it's hard to say that's contemporary 2005 music.
No, that's true. But it does fill in a little bit of the history in a way that, you know, worked for me for the book, because I was really looking for a way to get Thelonious's tunes as played in the most imaginative, just sort of best context ever. This maybe comes close to that. But then – you know, it also works as a contemporary release for me in the sense that at this point in what we know about jazz or popular music history, we very rarely get those thunderbolts from the distant past where something comes along and makes you go, oh, wow, this is totally different from what I expected to hear in 1957. And that's precious. I think that's something that even people who are not really jazz people might appreciate, that, you know, it's like finding another the alternate Born to Run or something, or the record that Stevie Wonder apparently worked on right after Talking Book that he never released.
Any particular genres or styles in the ascendancy this year? Anything that you think stand out?
God. Well, I think it was a really weird year for hip hop, for example. There was lots of love for Kanye West, and Late Registration is a very clever record. It's a beautifully produced record. It's probably as state of the art as anything we'll hear in hip hop just sound-wise. And yet, I felt like he sort of took a little pass when it came to actually developing narratives, and he didn't really develop narratives. He told us a lot about himself, and he sort of riffed in the way that successful hip-hop MCs riff now. But I wonder if in 5 years, people who love that record as much as I think the critics are going to love on it at the end of the year, top 10 time, will feel the same way. I really think that's going to end up being an overrated record.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down.
Any hip-hop that you think stood out above that?
Well, the record that I cannot believe did not get major love was the Blackalicious record called The Craft. And it's just it's exactly everything that you want from sort of a quote-unquote enlightened hip-hop record. It's very smart. It doesn't just talk about the craft of making hip-hop, although that is a recurring theme and very interestingly explored. And the sonics are great. The grooves are a little bit different than sort of what is on the radio and commercial hip hop. And it's a very positive record. It's a home run. And you know, at a time when Kanye wasn't the only one, there was the Common record that everyone loved called B, which I think is good in spots. It's a very strong like effort for him. It's not strong all the way through. Blackalicious, you put this on and you feel like you're in the middle of some a tight group of people who are really working out what it means to make hip-hop.
Met her out of town in a small cafe. She had the motion of the ocean, how her hips this way. She had everybody looking back and everybody looking back. And anything she wanted, all the guys obeyed. Now,
she was
a sight for sore pupils and a know she got it, and the most intoxicating things to make a man with worries feel like everything is okay. She got
powers,
and I think I wanna get it.
That's powers. Powers,
everything inside me, all of my senses.
Powers,
and I think I wanna get it.
That's
powers.
Blackalicious from The Craft, one of Tom Moon's picks for best hip-hop this past year. What about rock? How did rock fare?
Boy, there were some great, like, sort of straight-ahead rock records, like the My Morning Jacket Z record, which is definitely on my list. And then, I don't know about anyone else, I'm a little tired of the whole Franz Ferdinand and everything after sort of, you know, that dance rock thing from the 80s. It didn't seem to go anywhere different this time, and it was a very entertaining record. It sure was a great Saturday night driving to go out kind of record, but it didn't stay with me. The kinds that did were the more progressive records, and I think that this was an amazing year for old-fashioned, grinded-out, crazy time signatures, crazy trying to do a lot of different things kind of record. And the best maybe example of that was the Mars Volta record, Francis the Mute, which is just a stunning piece of work. Beautifully sung, has, you know, ties together little elements of Pink Floyd, little elements of King Crimson, a lot of different things. That's a great record.
He's got fast in black lungs, made of clove splintered shards. They're the kind that will talk through wheezing of cars. And I hear him every night, in every pore, in every time. It just makes me
Mars Volta's Francis the Mute, as we're talking music with Tom Moon, music in 2005. One of the things that has happened is when bands get really big, they release the next album. And whether or not it's the sophomore album kind of syndrome or not, it's kind of the next album after something big. And you mentioned Franz Ferdinand. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about Get Behind Me, Satan, the White Stripes release?
It's not anywhere near as intense as Elephant, but it's really good. And it will likely make my list just because here Jack White is really figuring out how to expand the sound. The piano stuff that he does on that record and the electric piano stuff is all really smart. And it's not the same record over again. He really tried to take it in different ways. And, you know, keeping in mind that he's sort of chained in the very real sense to a very primitive timekeeper in Meg, he's doing as much as he can with it. And I think in 5 years, that record, we'll listen back to that and go, wow, this was really inventive.
I'm thinking about my doorbell.
What about the singer-songwriter genre?
Boy, this was quite a year for singer-songwriters. We had the first Kate Bush record in 10 years, although she's not really officially a singer-songwriter. I never know what to make of her.
She's Kate Bush.
The return of Fiona Apple, again, sort of an event. And then which that, by the way, is a very nice record, and I hope that it untracks her and we get many more from her soon, that she doesn't wait another 5 years and go through a lot of emotional turbulence to make another record. The one that caught it for me in 2005 was the Laura Veers Year of Meteors record. And here it's like crazy images, lots of stuff that doesn't seem to make sense lyrically. Maybe there is a narrative, maybe not. Maybe it's just a bunch of like nice images floating by. And it's beautifully sung, and I think she really has a melodic sense that has been, if not missing. We haven't seen someone who's thinking in terms of long melodies, not just two-bar melodies, in a long time. I think she's really going to be somebody to watch.
I'm climbing up the stairs. I'm circling the waves. The broken ceiling pane. The broken window pane. Oh, a smile would melt me too, an asphalt strip.
You seem to have an ear for the female singer-songwriters. Any males that you thought did some good things?
Well, my favorite six or seven songs this year came from Iron and Wine and this EP called Woman King. And he's finally getting some recognition. And one of his songs was in a movie this year. But this was a real concentrated dose. It made you really appreciate the EP as a vehicle for introducing someone to an audience that maybe doesn't appreciate him yet. It's a perfect dose, and every song is just a gem.
There is light in my lady's house, and there's none but some falling rain. There's like a spoken
Iron and Wine from the Woman King EP, another one of the picks from Tom Moon, who is, we're going over the year 2005 in music. Yeah, what about how music is delivered? I know it's kind of an old conversation, but when you think of an EP as being a more digestible kind of form, maybe for what's it's kind of in between the single download and the and the album.
Well, and look at Kate Bush's record, which is two CDs, and it's long, it's spacious, it stretches out over a long period of time. Some of the songs don't really crest into what we know them to be until 5 or 6 minutes into them. It's a real atmospheric swirl, and that's beautiful. But I think it's asking a lot of any listener in our time to spend 2 hours with one piece of music. I mean, people are so attuned to the mix and the, you know, something that turns 10 artists around in an hour that I think that it's often too much. And too much of something is just a terrible thing. Even when it's greatness, you want the artist's best shot. You want to feel like, okay, this is somebody is really focusing on how they're going to tell the story in 7 songs. If it's 7 songs in 35 minutes, that is a full meal. That can be all you need. And that, especially for an artist like Iron and Wine, where he's still on the bubble. People don't know who he is yet, really. People don't realize how special he is as a songwriter. His whole aura is maybe better appreciated at that distance than, you know, 24 songs over 2 CDs.
One vote for Distillation from Tom Moon. Tom, thanks a lot for looking back at the year with us.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Tom Moon, our guest. You hear his reviews on National Public Radio, and you can read him in the Philadelphia Inquirer and Rolling Stone, looking back at the year 2005.
Our thanks to Tom. So what do you give the year musically? I guess I give it about a B. Not bad. Not bad at all.